Matthew chapter 19, we'll be reading verses 1 through 30 of God's holy and inspired and infallible and sufficient word. Hear now His word. When Jesus had finished these words, He departed from Galilee and came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed Him, and He healed them there. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing Him and asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?" And He answered and said, "Have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh'? So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." They said to Him, "Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to Him, "If the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry." But He said to them, "Not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it." Then some children were brought to Him so that He might lay His hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone, do not hinder them from coming to Me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After laying His hands on them, He departed from there. And someone came to Him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And He said to him, "Why are you asking Me about what is good? There's only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." And He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to Him, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete or perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow Me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to His disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And Peter said to Him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed You. What then will there be for us? And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that you who have followed Me in the regeneration of the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne. You will also sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for My name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And that's God's word. And so Jesus comes to Judea, and the Pharisees, trying to trip Him up, trying to test Him, Because they know what the scripture says about the certificate of divorce, and they're about to bring that up. And Jesus asked to this question, can we divorce our wives for any reason? Because if Jesus says no, then they have this word for Moses, don't they? Jesus quotes the scripture they know from creation. He quotes his own word. He goes back to creation. He made them male and female. A man shall leave his father and mother, that two, husband and wife, shall become one flesh. And so what God has made one flesh, man cannot separate. Then why did Moses give this certificate of divorce, Jesus? And Jesus responds, it was because of the hardness of your hearts. God hates divorce. He says that. And still it is because of the hardness of heart that he, even in the midst of verse 9, he gives the exception. That if you divorce your wife and go marry another, then you commit adultery. But he gives one exception to that because of their hardness of heart. If you divorce your wife because of her adultery, and we can reverse the roles, of course. If you divorce your wife because of her adultery, then yes, you can marry another. But that exception is only because of your hardness of heart. God still hates divorce. Well, the disciples respond, and you know, the Pharisees have gone away. The disciples respond, and it's good not to marry at all. Jesus responds, well, not all men can accept that. It's only for some. Eunuchs, he brings up, and he describes the three different types of eunuchs. And if they are eunuchs, they ought to accept the truth about them and live to God wholeheartedly that way. Then some children were brought to Jesus that he might bless them, and yet the disciples, with the crowds around them, seemed to be very annoyed by this. And they rebuke the people who are bringing the children, presumably their parents. But Jesus reveals children should not ever be hindered in coming to him. The kingdom belongs to these. People like these. Children like these. And so we should not, as parents or elders or churches, hinder children coming to the worship of God. For there is where they meet Jesus. And then the rich young ruler in verse 16 and following, who believes he has kept all of God's commandments. And Jesus has just said, there's only one who is good. And yet he believes that he's kept all the commandments. Commandments 5 through 10 of the Ten Commandments. And yet, because he was rich, he would not give up his riches for the kingdom. And Jesus reminds us that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, who then can be saved if it's not the rich man? And all his power and authority and property, if he cannot save himself, then who can save themselves? And Jesus reveals that it's not just the rich man, it's all men that cannot save themselves. It is impossible for man to save themselves, but God saves people. And it's not at all impossible for him, it is completely possible. And he does save everyone that he desires to be saved, to be his child. They are his elect. God is the only one who can save. And the chapter closes with an explanation about the reward of those who leave all things to follow Jesus. Kind of a conclusion to the rich young ruler who did not want to leave all things and follow Jesus? And what about those who do leave all things and follow Jesus? Well, for the disciples specifically, they will sit on the 12 thrones and take part in the judgment. And then the next verse, for all those who leave everything for Jesus, they will receive many times as much. And they also, if we learn in other parts of Scripture, they will judge too with Christ on the throne. And they will receive and inherit eternal life. And yet, in this life, if you are a follower of Christ, that will produce itself in your life, in your works, in your practice. So that you will make yourself last. You will make yourself in the righteousness of Christ and the Holy Spirit working through you, of course, to be a servant and to serve with all humility. And that's that last verse. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, and the God who has sent upon us into our hearts your Holy Spirit, who guards and protects us and who counsels us and moves us in the true way of your Son. We thank you that you are a God who is clear to us about divorce. We read through the Scriptures. Even here, we see that you made man male and female, and they are to be, when they join themselves together in covenant, they are one flesh. And yet in our society, in the church, rampant in the church, are many who would take those vows and those oaths that we'll hear more about in a few moments in the third commandment. They take those vows and they blaspheme against your name. And they divorce their wives, they divorce their husbands for no even allowable reason, according to your word about our hardness of hearts. And we take vows and we take oaths lightly, even when we do it before you, the one who knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And we know that you say that what God has joined together, let no man separate, let no man put asunder. No man. And you hate divorce because marriage is that image of Christ in the church. And when we divorce our spouses, we are showing that Christ divorces the church, which is not true at all. We are making God out to be a liar, and we blaspheme His name. Well, may it not be of any here this morning and throughout the church that you would reform the church throughout the world in these things, and you would cause us to love our spouses. And those, especially, we've taken the vow before you, God, that we would love you even more than we love our spouse, that we would love you more than we would love to be separate from our spouse because of sin. And you would turn us from that sin unto you. And that we would image Christ in the church. Father, we ask that we would be people who would give up all things to follow you. And that we would never think that we, in any perfect way outside of ourselves alone, outside of Christ, keep your commandments like this man believed he did. And at times we believe that we do. And Father, we have that false notion We can do nothing good apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness and the Spirit working in our hearts. And Father, we're thankful that You are a God who saves Your people, the elect, who You've decreed before the foundation of the world, before creation, and the eternal realms past. And that You will save each and every one whom You've chosen. And what great mercy You've shown to us. And before we were born or did anything good or evil, You chose us from before the foundation of the world, predestined us to be Your children. And so, Father, we ask that You would use us now, those who are Your people, Your children who have been saved only by Your mercy and grace, to have confidence to proclaim the gospel and testify of what You've done to all we come in contact with, knowing with great comfort and assurance that You will save Your people and not we ourselves. And it's not our effort, it's not our great words, but it is You by Your Spirit and by Your Word who saves. And Father, we ask that You would make us humble servants as we look forward to what we have foreshadowed in this, the Lord's Day. The eternal life and the eternal rest that we have with You in glory. And so make us humble servants to You and Your Son this day. Father, we lift up perhaps in particular Lillian this morning, and whatever may be causing what's going on with her, we ask that You would give wisdom to doctors as she meets with them this week, hopefully, Lord willing. We pray that it would not be anything serious, and yet if it is, that You would grant patience and humility and wisdom to doctors and to John and Lillian and the family. That You give great comfort, and that we would all, their family with us, all would trust Your providence, knowing that it is always good for us, Your people. Father, we do pray for all those others who are sick or who have various ailments or struggle in their bodies. We pray that You would strengthen them as well. We pray these things, knowing that You are a God who answers, and we believe in faith that You will answer according to Your will. Because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.